Welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. I'm Jordan Edwards, Communications Associate at the BJC. We're in the middle of the holiday season. In fact, we're recording this podcast on the second day of Hanukkah. And with the holiday season comes Christmas craziness, when people like to discuss what decoration is and isn't appropriate. With me, I have BJC Executive Director Brent Walker. Brent, how are you this morning?
Good, Jordan. How are you?
Good, good. So let's get...
It's also the second Monday of Advent.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's true. So the first thing I want to discuss is nativity scenes, public nativity scenes. We've already seen a development in Michigan where a Satanist group wanted to counter a nativity scene on the Michigan Capitol grounds with their own snake-tivity. What do you think about this whole back and forth when it comes to nativity scenes and creches during the holiday season?
There are some fairly clear-cut rules on that, Jordan, that under the Constitution, the government unit cannot put up and pay for and sponsor a nativity scene. That violates the no establishment principle, and it has government promoting Christianity in a way that violates the First Amendment. But individuals and groups, non-governmental actors, are able sometimes to sponsor, put up living nativity scenes or other kinds of purely religious symbols during the holiday season. If it's done in a public place where speech is generally permitted, parks, town squares, and other places where speech is normally allowed. So it really depends on who's speaking. Is it the government speaking a religious message, or is it a group, a church, a synagogue, a mosque, a temple, an individual who's talking about a religious topic in the public square? The former is not permitted, the latter is. Part of the problem with this, though, is even where it is permissible for a private group to sponsor a religious or specifically Christian symbol, is that once you start there, then you've got to open it up for everybody else. The snake people that you talked about and others, you know, you're not allowed to capture the public square to the exclusion of all others in our pluralistic constitutional democracy. You've got to share the space with others. So, yeah, there are ways in which the public square can be used for a religious message during this season of Advent and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. And actually, there's almost about a dozen different holy days in the Thanksgiving to New Year's time frame. You've got to take all comers, and you can't allow government to pick and choose the speakers.
Speaking of that, you wrote in a column a few years ago about a public park in Santa Monica, California, where they held a lottery to see who would be able to display their holiday symbolism on public grounds, and that there were atheists involved and Christians involved, and the Christians got mad because they didn't win the lottery outright and things like that. The idea of putting a holiday display is a lot of times out of good intentions, but do you feel like people, Christians and non-Christians, use this opportunity as a way to ignite kind of a little minor holy war during this season?
Yeah, absolutely. All of this public speech is subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions that government can impose on speakers, as long as it's done fairly and not with any bias favoring one religion over another. So, yeah, we can speak in the public square, but you know, we can't do it with impunity if we are trampling on the rights of others. And time, place, and manner restrictions during certain times of the day, certain parks, portions of the space can be allotted for different speakers, and that's perfectly permissible.
Now, one thing I will note, that the quote-unquote snake-tivity situation in Michigan has brought together both conservative Republicans and the people involved with the Satanist group over religious liberty. There's been moments of handshaking, that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. it's not always a chance to fight
the
other
sure.
side.
Yeah. But you know what? There's a real easy solution to this. I always try to find a win-win situation when I can. A creche in front of every church and a menorah in front of every synagogue on private property, but in public view, mm-hmm. is a good solution. You can speak your peace through those symbols. The public can see it and observe it by coming and going in public spaces, but you're on private property. So to me, that's a win-win rather than trying to compete for the public space in a park or the square or some other venue that you're being there may cause someone else who disagrees with your message to have equal rights to speak in opposition.
Now, the other thing that always comes up during this season is the war on Christmas or the secularization of Christmas. We saw this early this season with Starbucks when they released their red coffee cups without any Christmas symbols on them. No snowflakes, no snowmen, no Santa, and of course, no baby Jesus. If you want Christmas symbolism on your coffee cups, just go to Pete's instead of going to Starbucks.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, well, that's a good point. I mean, these are private businesses. They can do as they please and send the message that they want. And, you know, if they think their business interests are served by not having explicit Christmas symbols on their cups or decorating in their place of business, that's perfectly fine. We don't want the government picking and choosing holidays for favored treatment, but it's perfectly okay for businesses and others and private people conversing with their neighbors. That's perfectly okay. To say Happy Holidays, for example, instead of Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa, if you don't know the religious affiliation of the person with whom you are speaking. I mean, it's not political correctness run amok. It's just being courteous to someone in how you address them. If you mess up and say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Hanukkah, that's not that big a deal, really. It's up to the discretion of the speaker how he or she wants to convey those holiday wishes.
And to me, it seems just like good business.
Why do we have to pick fights, you know, during the Advent season, you know, when hope and joy, peace and love are supposed to reign supreme, at least in the Christian community? You know, why do we have to be fighting of all times of the year during the advent of the Prince of Peace? It is craziness.
Now, we don't want to go into public schools teaching religious holidays in public schools too much, but I do want to bring up a recent story that showed up in Religion News Service, where a man in New Hampshire was told he had to remove the word Christmas from flyers he was sending home with local school children to remind them and their parents of the town's annual tree lighting ceremony. Now, this is a public school situation, but it's also a holiday display situation. So he literally had to white out the word Christmas on these flyers. And our good friend Charles Haynes from the Religious Freedom Center of the Newseum Institute did mention that was stepping too far. He said in an email to Religion News Service that this is an example of how poorly some school leaders are educated about the First Amendment. Absurd overreactions like this give separation of church and state a bad name, and I expect to see this on many fundraising letters in the coming months. So what do you make of, do you agree with Charles
sure.
Haynes?
I agree with my friend Charles Haynes. I think that is an overreaction. Look, Christmas is Christmas, and a tree is a tree, and a Christmas tree is a Christmas tree, and you can call it what it is. And I see nothing wrong in calling it a Christmas tree. No reason to white it out. No reason to call it something other than it is. I think it would be wrong for the school to just allow Christmas, but then disallow a Jewish invitation or some others.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. This was not an invitation to hear Bible verses or see a living nativity or something like that.
Yeah. You know, in the school context, public school context, and not just the item that you suggested, but also, you know, holiday concerts with religious music and dramatic performances and productions at public schools, those kinds of issues come up. And we often refer to that as the December dilemma. If we just can exercise some common sense, I think we can get around most of these potential fights before they get started.
So with people going back and forth on what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, there is actual legal precedent for these issues. So Brent, why don't you talk a little bit about the legal side of of the season?
Sure, I'll be happy to. There's four just fundamental principles that we need to keep in mind. Some legal guidelines that let me outline very briefly. Purely religious symbols, like a freestanding nativity scene or a creche, cannot be put up or sponsored by a government. But Christmas trees and menorahs and other secular symbols of the holiday season can, even by government, be put up. Secondly, private citizens and groups subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions can usually display religious symbols, even on public property, where expressive activity is commonly allowed, like the courthouse square or the public park or even the sidewalks. Thirdly, private citizens and groups cannot, however, display a nativity scene on government property if it is made to appear that government is speaking the message or embracing the symbol as its own. A creche at the foot of the Grand Staircase in the middle of the Allegheny County, Pennsylvania courthouse was paid for and sponsored by private parties, but it obviously looked like that the county government was embracing and sponsoring the religious message communicated by the creche.
No way to tell by the naked eye.
Right. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. A casual observer would think that it was the government speaking, not a private citizen. And fourthly, government may sponsor a nativity scene in a public park if certain secular symbols, such as a Christmas tree or Santa Claus or a reindeer, are included in the display. And that just the idea is that the religious nature of the speech is being watered down by secular symbols, so that it's really not advancing religion as much as it is government encouraging commerce. You know, come downtown and spend your money and buy presents and feel good about Christmas, rather than the government getting behind and articulating a religious message.
Well, it sounds like it's up to the churches to make their own displays and their own private property in public view, and that's probably the best solution.
That's
to
a
all
great
this.
Solution. Absolutely. Yeah. The churches, the synagogues, can do as they please on their private property, even in public view. And the same message gets out there, but you're not confronted with the notion that government has to water down the message to make it constitutional. You can say it as you please and convey that message on your own.
Well, thank you, Brent, for clearing up those issues, and hopefully we'll have a fairly sane holiday season for the rest of the year. And thank you for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. For more podcasts, visit bjconline.org/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes channel.